What is up, gamers, trainers, Pokemon? You are listening to Pokemon's Health, Pokemon Meet Men's Mental Health. I'm your host, Roy Flash Gordon, and so glad you are here for another episode, another visit, another opportunity to learn about one of our guys in the community. Again, the focus of this podcast is to destigmatize the kind of conversations that we can have around mental health, as well as kind of destandardize some of the beliefs that we may have around masculinity and really open up space for guys to come express themselves and really be their authentic selves. That sounds good to you. Go ahead and give the podcast a follow so you never miss an episode, as well as some of our channels on social media, Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram, all at Pokemon's Health. Today's guest is a longtime Pokemon VGC streamer, YouTuber, and is getting pretty good at it from the sounds of it and have seen some great success. This man is a man by the name of Moxie Boosted. I was lucky enough to meet Moxie a couple months ago at Pokemon in the Park, an event we had in Chicago. We had a fun time having a match, connecting, and talking about this creation, this Pokemon's Health, and he was very excited to come on and share some of his insights, some of his struggles that he's had with anxiety, learning that he was autistic growing up, and really developing that as much of a superpower, something that he really helps, credits as something that helped him achieve success. So, very excited stories, excited for you guys to listen to it. Here he is, Mr. Moxie Boosted. All right, crew, and back again, Pokemon's Health. We got the man himself, Moxie Boosted, on. Moxie, man, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad. Hanging in there. Excited to be here with you. So we'll just start simple. Tell the folks a little bit about yourself. How old are you? What do you do for a living? And where are you from?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm 24 years old now. Right now, I'm a water lab technician. My education background is in physics, but unfortunately, you know, when I got out of college, there was limited opportunities for a bachelor's degree in physics that weren't like specifically in like defense contracting, which I didn't want to do that. So yeah. I just opted not to apply for any of that.
Totally.
Yeah. But now, you know, I just work a job I'm not super fond of, but, you know, it pays the bills and it helps me do like YouTube, which is, it's been taking off recently. So I might be able to either, you know, switch completely full time within a year or two, or possibly like just get like a part time job into YouTube.
Yeah, that's dope, dude. That's super dope. Clearly, I know you from the YouTube world, and we happen to bump into each other at a couple of tournaments, which is really cool to see. You're somewhat local to me and whatnot. So, where is it that you're from?
Yeah, so I mean, I grew up in like the greater Chicagoland area. I don't want to say the suburbs. Because if you see the suburbs of Chicago, people would be like, oh, where, you know?
Like
outside of Chicago, just barely though. Like Chicago is like a 45-minute drive from me, so I'm very familiar with the city.
Beautiful.
And yeah, I've been traveling a lot more ever since I graduated college, because my girlfriend lives out in Boston, and you know, whenever I go to a tournament out east, I bring her with me.
Very cool. She's she cool hanging out at those long days?
Yeah, I mean, she likes competitive Pokemon. I got her into it.
Oh, beautiful. Awesome. Great segue. How did you get into Pokemon? I guess just period, even from childhood. And how did you go from there to currently engaging with Pokemon the way you do?
Yeah, so I would say that my first exposure to Pokemon would probably be when I was like 4. I think I got like this red Game Boy Advance. And the first game I got on it was like, oh, what was it called? It was like a Sonic battling game. I don't know what it was, but yeah. So I played that, and then eventually I got Fire Red.
Yeah.
And then Emerald, and I just played the heck out of those games. And when I got older, I got really curious one day, and I said, hey, I wonder if like competitive Bakugan exists. So I looked that up first.
Yeah.
And then I looked at competitive Beyblade and found out both of those things are real. Competitive Beyblade's hilarious, by the way. If you look up the Beyblade World Championships, it's the funniest thing you'll ever see.
I need to do that. I used to play with my buddy. We would get the blades and we'd find a bowl from the kitchen and like do our thing. It was fantastic.
So, in the recommended section for those two videos I saw when I was like 15, I think it was the 2014 World Championships. Like that's what I saw. And then I watched that and I said, oh, this is kind of cool. And then I just kind of got introduced to competitive Pokemon. I went through the usual pipeline, seeing a World Championship, then, watching Brulissify for like 8 years.
Dope, dope, dope. Yeah, I personally just started like again, I guess I played in Gen 4 when Platinum was hot, and back then it was freaking impossible. So I applaud you for getting in any time before Scarlet Violet like myself. But that's super dope, man. What kind of led you down the content creator path?
I was bored.
Yeah.
No, I'm gonna be, I mean, this is a mental health podcast, so full transparency. It makes more sense now that I'm like older, and I got it diagnosed, but like apparently I've been autistic my whole life, right?
Got you.
So I
Got you.
found that out last year when, or not even last year, like less than a year ago, like 8 months, maybe less even. How long ago was February?
That is the 7 months
Yeah, so like
to
seven.
yeah, 7 months.
So I've been autistic for about half a year. No, so I've been autistic my whole
Yeah.
life, right? And they told me that it's like the way he described it is like you got a toe on the spectrum, dude. And he said basically I just have like these hyper fixations that I'm super into, and I pick things up kind of quick, and I get like somewhat obsessed with them. And I think when I was younger, I found out like what YouTube was, and I was really into YouTube. So when I got into Pokemon, I said, I want to be a Pokemon YouTuber, right? So I just did that and I sucked at it.
Yeah, that's how it starts, isn't it? So how long ago was that?
I think my channel was started in August 2015.
Wow. Dope.
So
And
yeah,
you've
I
been
mean,
just chopping wood, just putting it out there.
yeah, it was mostly just me, like, because my favorite part of the game is building teams. So if I had any idea, I would just make a video around it. And then later on, I kind of figured out what I was doing. And I started recording myself playing games. And eventually, I think when Sun and Moon came out, that's when I started to like really understand the game because I wanted to like compete. And that's when I like made the full transition over from like Smogon singles to VGC, because I started off with Smogon singles, not understanding it was different from VGC. And yeah, so 2017 came and went to college that year, the summer that year. Funny enough, I top cut my first event I ever attended, which was and I sucked at the game at that point. That's the thing. A lot of people don't realize this, but like competitive Pokemon was a lot easier before the Switch, because there was less resources. If you knew what you were doing remotely, you could top cut a local.
Got it.
Now, top cutting a local, if you have like 16 other players there who are pretty decent at the game, you actually have to try now.
It seems like there's a lot of skill. I faced a guy this weekend who's his first tournament, and like that meant a damn thing. He was
Dude, because you've been
one
watching
of the best players
YouTubers
I've ever looked at.
for years.
Crazy times, man. I'm very interested. So you've had a really long history of this then. Did you have any editing skills, all that great stuff? Did you know how good your voice was back in the day when you were starting?
I hated my voice when I was growing up, and I think
Okay.
that had more to do with me not realizing what it sounded like because I had a worse microphone.
Got you, got you.
Beyond that, I learned how to edit by myself because, like I said, autistic. I just kind of got obsessed with it, and I learned how to do it in an afternoon. Same thing. Like I used to make music too. Like I don't do it anymore, but like I learned FL Studio myself. I learned like GIMP and Photoshop. It's just, if you give me a program, I'll figure it out. I'm teaching myself like PLC programming right now at my job because I don't like doing what I do. So I'm just like, maybe I can get some other training here. But yeah, so I learned how to do that there.
Dope,
And
man.
yeah, I only recently stopped editing my own videos like 3 months ago.
It's a huge transition, and definitely a testament to your success. And your stuff is sharp, sounds great, it's beautiful, and yeah, you really put some of the most valuable stuff out there. So I appreciate you for that.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, so transitioning a little bit on the topics of a little masculinity, a little mental health. The first question is just in your experiences, no judgment at all. What do you think a man is supposed to be?
In my opinion, I've always found that what a man is like sort of up to them. Society has its interpretation of what a man should be. Personally, I think that you think you're a man, but it comes down to more to being authentic with yourself, in my opinion. You know, like for me, I'm really into three things. I like to lift weights. I like to make YouTube videos about Pokemon. And I like to play Pokemon. Those are like the three things that I do. Now, luckily for me, one of those falls within the societal definition of what people tend to think is masculine, which is lifting weights. However, the other one doesn't. In my opinion, it doesn't matter what it falls into. And I think that just being able to do what you do with confidence is what makes a man. And frankly, what makes a woman or whatever you are.
Oh yeah.
I think that it's more about personhood, if you
Yeah.
understand, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you come to the topic of authenticity, and I think you're talking about something that is human. And what's I think missing from not just the lives of men, I think it's can kind of be more obvious because like there's always this competition like thing going on, and like the guy's always trying to get the most money, cars, all that stuff. And if you don't have that stuff, I think it's just more visible that that there may be issues with authenticity and manhood. But I think it's something that everyone probably struggles with at some point in their life. And then one day you get to cross that beautiful line where it's just like actually I'm going to be myself, and that's what makes me happy. So I appreciate
Yeah,
that
no,
part of
I
your
got lucky.
response.
I got lucky because I understand what you mean. You know, that's what people tend to refer to when they talk about, you know, toxic masculinity, which is the typical competition between men that's sort of implied and that you just end up falling into and you're expected to fall into, right? Like when I go to the gym, I used to judge myself because I wasn't the biggest guy, right? And now when I go to the gym, I go like, my goals are different. Why would I want to look like that? You know,
Hell
I want to
yeah.
look like good for them. They look how they want to look. I want to look how I want to look. Like I'm proud of them and I'm proud of me, right?
That's beautiful.
Beyond that, though, you know, I lucked out. Like I said, I'm autistic. Like I societal norms are something that's like not second nature to me. So when I see a dude with like a fancy car, my buddies will see that and be like, man, you know, my car sucks. And I'm just like, I got a nice little Subaru. You
There
know,
you go.
I lucked out. Like I'm just by default, I'm kind of like lucky to be in that headspace already where I don't care too much.
Yeah, man, that's beautiful. It
I
sounds
think that
like
helped out with YouTube too. Just it's easy to be like authentic when you're in my shoes.
definitely. And I love how you carry yourself just like in the world. Like you just like don't give a fuck, like unfazed. It's something I've appreciated in the times that I've been around you. In regards to that definition then, or let's I think you've got a really great base on that. Like let's say there was any of the old definitions or any old beliefs that you may have come across around manhood or times that you might have felt like you struggled to be someone else's definition of manhood. Do you have any times like that in the past?
Everyone struggles with like, you know, their father's interpretation of manhood and themselves because we're
Oh
always trying to
yeah.
live up to them, you know? So like my dad, first generation, well, I'm a first generation American. He came from Mexico illegally and gained a citizenship. And because of that, when I was younger, I would like work outside with him a lot. Like he would take me to jobs. I basically like when I was young, I would labor from like the age of 13. Like it wasn't hard labor, right? But it was like labor, you know? I was working from like the age of 13 until I was able to get like my first official job at like Walmart when I was 17 or 15 actually, but I kept helping them on the side too. But you know, when you have different interests than that, when like I'm like an inside kid, you know, I like to lift weights, but I like to be inside.
Yeah, totally.
That sort of changed in the past couple of years. I love being outside now, mainly just because I'm an office guy, you know. But yeah, you know. Being first generation American, when you have someone with such a traditional mindset, raising you, you know, I think coming to the interpretation of masculinity that I did was sort of a one in a million shot in the environment I grew up in, you know?
Absolutely. That's fantastic. I tell the story about my dad. He was not in my life very much as I was coming up, and I was raised very much by my mom, her sisters, my grandma, her sisters, etc. And like, I joke that it's probably best that he wasn't raised by him, because if I did, 100% be like way more toxic. Like my definition of manhood would be like completely different and more along the lines of how he was raised, which was like a hard ass. Yeah, you don't cry or have emotions or be nice or any of that shit, you know?
Yeah, like you see, like my dad used to be like that, but as like we grew up, he sort of like became comfortable in his own skin, because I think like he caught up like in his like later years, you know. He's still
Definitely.
around, not like he's gone, but like he's still around. But nowadays he still has like those tendencies just because he grew up like that. But now it's just like, before he would like see me wearing like a pink sweatshirt, he'd be like, "Hey man, what are you wearing?" And he would like kind of tease me about it. But now he's like, "Hey, you look good." You know?
There we go. That's growth. I
Like
love that.
he grows too, and that's something I appreciate about my dad. Like he knows how to grow as a person.
I'm glad that you got him. So you've mentioned your autism as a mental health kind of situation that you weren't aware of until the last 7 months or so.
Yeah.
How were you struggling with stuff around that before then? And is there any more like recent mental health struggles that you've had to kind of deal with?
I think that like growing up, I didn't really think I was different, mainly just because like look, people tend to self-sort in high school, you know. I would hang out with people who also like Team Fortress 2 and Pokemon, you know. So chances are some of them had it too. But most people went undiagnosed as far as I could tell. But yeah, so like I never noticed. I was lucky enough to grow up in like an area where most kids were like super inviting and open, and you could like talk to whoever you wanted, which I know a lot of people don't have that opportunity. But because of that, I never felt terribly ostracized. The one thing that I like super struggle with that I think we should like cover, because I think this is the one thing I can really talk about, is anxiety. Because like since I was like little, dude, awful, absolutely awful. And I've never said this on the internet, but like when I was like three, up until the age of maybe nine, if I heard like, and it was from like a traumatic experience with like a tornado, right?
Oh, man.
Ever like if it got like dark and gloomy out, I would get so anxious, I would throw up.
Holy shit.
Single bit, like it was like if I heard lightning, bam, like I'm running to the bathroom. And while I don't have that anymore, it like manifests, like the anxiety manifests in different places in my life. And now that I'm like older, it's usually just about like, getting old, not doing much in my life, that sort of thing. So, yeah, I mean, I moved out of my parents' place like a year ago, probably like in a month, it will have been a year ago. But as you can see in the camera, where am I? I'm at my parents' place.
Hey.
Well, I guess you can't tell, but like this obviously isn't like the bedroom at an apartment, and I don't own a home. So I started having like these panic attacks out of literally nowhere. No idea where they came from. And I was lucky my girlfriend was visiting at the time. She was able to kind of take care of me. But yeah, I think it's been 2 months almost since I moved back in. And being around people, not living by myself, not going to work for 9 to 10 hours a day, driving an hour home, working on YouTube until I fall asleep, and then going back to sleep and then doing it over again. Having like people to interact with on the day to day and not being isolated for 5 days at a time, that's helped me a ton, along with, seeking therapy, finding other outlets. Like I'm doing cardio again. I used to be in really, really good shape in college. Like really good shape. Like I'm kind of upset how I look right now, but so now like getting back into it, having these outlets, I haven't had a panic attack in like a month now, which I'm really proud of.
Beautiful, dude. That's awesome. That's awesome. It sounds like that there's definitely was perhaps like the build up of just the stress, anxiety, perhaps that isolation, like you mentioned, that is, can push you into that state. And it sounds like you healed it with community, talking to people, seeking, some professional advice. Sounds like it's going. And I always think we really underestimate like the power of moving our body. Like whatever the fuck the goal is, like whatever you're trying to look like, just the power in moving it and how much that manages stress for us.
Yeah, I think it's always been my way of coping. And I think it helped me get through college, because I was like the only, so all of my friends went to like an engineering school, and then I was by myself at Illinois State getting a physics degree. I knew no one down there. So going to the gym helped soothe my anxiety, and then I made friends at the gym, and then like now the gym was part of my everyday life, like that sort of thing. So yeah, no, I've always liked lifting weights. I always like building muscle and stuff. And the cardio was what like really came later to make me lose a ton of weight in college. I think I dropped like 40, 45 pounds.
Amazing.
Then like gym shut down, put it all back on. Now trying to slowly take it all off again, because the way I took it off the first time, not smart.
Oh no. Oh.
It was like two cardio sessions every day, and I wouldn't eat dinner.
Yeah, that's a lot, man. You got to eat, especially if you're going to keep those creative juices flowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dope dog. So you've talked about kind of a big journey, really. So going back to Pokemon for a bit, how, like, what is it about Pokemon that has contributed to your happiness?
So I've always been someone who, like, if I don't want to do something, it's very, I'm gonna do it, but I'm not gonna like it. And the more things I have to do that I don't like, the sadder of a person I become, because I feel like I don't have any, like, how do you say it? Control over my life, Now, having a hobby that, involved Pokemon, making YouTube videos and competing was like really nice. But now that it's a source of income that is viable for possibly a full-time job, that's especially fulfilling. Recently I've been getting some sponsorship offers, and I just signed a contract with a company to help me secure more of those. So I'm going to be earning a lot of money right now. And just being able to use, frankly, my hyperfixation to make money. I think that that's like, what is it called? Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Like, I think I might be on like the third or second to
Definitely.
last rung.
Definitely.
Like, all I got to do now is move in with my girlfriend and then like do this for a living. Like, those are like the last two things.
It's beautiful, man. It's beautiful what you've set up, beautiful what you've accomplished with all of it. And I love bringing in the hierarchy of needs. Like, you definitely are on the way to self-actualization through that. That's beautiful, and I'm happy for you.
Thanks.
That said, shall we hop into a little best of one action?
Yeah, this entire time I've actually been training in Ursaluna, and I have to give it like six more EVs. I just have to check what those are, and then we'll be all ready.
All right, do your thing, bro. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, so Calmind is it's just funny. It's so funny. 'Cause like I'm running leftovers, right? I started eating like Specs Dark Pulses from Chiyu. And then I don't know. So I think Calmind leftovers lets you do a lot of things that Ursaluna shouldn't be able to do. Number one is now you have a choice Specs. And number two is you just don't really care about special attacks. Like, it's the AV and it's the choice specs in the same item.
That's crazy. That so of the Regimon, that is what I'm looking at. Blood Moon. I have to do all this shit to get
Yeah,
it
it's an annoying mon to get, but
though.
once you get it, like, make sure you stop reset for zero speed, because it is totally worth it.
So that's totally worth it.
Yeah, it's such a good mon.
Beautiful.
It's kind of weird. It's entirely because of Blood Moon. I made the mistake of running Calmind Hyper Voice for like 2 days, and then I tested Blood Moon, and I'm like, man, even though I can't click it twice in a row, and my other move is Earth Power, just the pressure forces so many things to protect. It's insane.
Yeah, man. Well, Thank you for that. That was a route if I've never seen one. And maybe I should learn some regulation E before trying to come at the master again. You have any so thank you for that, bro. Do you have any things you're excited about currently in Pokemon that is coming up next? And then any final reflection or thing you might have to say to a man who might be out there struggling?
I would say, I'm mostly just excited to go to Beast Coast and Peoria. I got a lot of tournaments coming up, and I'm excited to not use Wo
Yes.
Chen because I'm
Proud of
free to
you.
get points now. And if there's a dude out there struggling, I would say positivity above all else is going to be your best tool. And positivity doesn't just include positivity towards yourself. You can develop an image of yourself that is less based off of your achievements and more based off of trying to compare yourself to people below you. And they might not necessarily be below you. They might just have different like aspirations and stuff. And I know a lot of people will take out their frustrations on lots of things, other dudes, women. You shouldn't really have those attitudes towards other people. And honestly, I think that if you end up having a brighter outlook on just about everyone else, it does make your life a lot easier and happier. You go from that guy probably hates me too. I wonder what his life is like. And just having asking that question rather than assuming the former is really healthy, I think.
Wow. Beautiful. Moxie, thank you so much for coming on tonight. Thank you for the battle. Thank you for your powerful perspective. Good luck with everything. I'm sure we'll be talking before Peoria. If not, I will see you then, brother.
Yep, good to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Ooh, a ton of wisdom from Moxie in that one. I really appreciated so much of what he had to say, what he had to share with us. One of my favorite bits was right there at the end, that idea of just assuming this person, look across and see this person. For whatever reason, you think they hate you, and now you have some energy towards them because of that. And I can admit, like, yeah, I've had that. I've had that many days, especially with a lot of what's going on in the world today. And can you instead look, what if we as men can instead look at that person and just wonder about their life? See, instead of the ways that we're different, instead of seeing the ways or reasons why they may have something bad to say about us or dislike us, and just wonder about their life. Think about the ways that we are similar, as we are more similar than we are different. And that's throughout almost all groups. It's the powerful message of love there from Moxie at the end. I really, really appreciate that. I appreciate having him on, and hopefully get to chat again sometime soon. Hope you guys enjoyed that as much as I did. If you did, hopefully you consider going a little bit deeper with me. The Patreon is now live. Again, it's a space where the podcast is a place where you just come to have these conversations. Other guys who stepped in to having the conversation, other guys who stepped up to the challenge of dealing with, what it might take for them to really be the type of person, type of man they want to be in the world. The Patreon's opportunity for you to kind of get a little bit closer to doing that for yourselves. So in the Patreon, I'll be going deeper on a lot of other topics, including sex, relationships, dating, and of course, some of the day-to-day kind of stuff that helps us stay balanced, grounded, happy, healthy, as men, as masculine fueled individuals. So if something interesting to you will find the link somewhere around here on the podcast page. That said, I appreciate you for listening, hanging out with me again. Make sure you check out the stream later tonight, and hopefully I see some of you there. Have a great rest of the week, and see you next week. Talk soon.